Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of F This Movie.
Another one.
Congratulations on being kick-ass and having excellent taste.
We're effing kick-ass?
Yes. No, wrong. We're effing Pearl Harbor.
Ah, that's the excellent taste part of it.
Guess how we're effing Pearl Harbor.
How?
Dougie style.
Oh.
That's
why
right.
Why is that?
Because Doug is on the
Thank
show.
Thank you very much.
I'm here. Pearl Harbor Dougie style.
Thank you very much, Patrick. I'm honored and thrilled to be here.
I am thrilled that you're here, but not so much honored.
Oh, dear.
Why is that?
Because you save all your honor for the veterans.
That's right.
For Veterans Day, which just happened.
Our intention was to have this out by Veterans Day, but let's face it, here on F This Movie, October really kicked our asses a little.
Yeah, well, that's your own doing. I think that's your own making. Obviously, you have a thing where you like, let's do horror movies. And, you know, obviously you love horror movies.
I do.
So you obviously devote all this time to effing lots and lots of scary stuff.
Yeah.
And we blew our load.
Correct.
So to speak, all over everyone's ears that are listening through their earbuds in their iPods.
Earbuds and iPods are words that are in the English language in
2010. There's an app for that, apparently.
Yeah.
And we needed a break.
It's
now November, what, 15th or something?
Veterans Day
was 4 days ago.
Yes.
11-11 at 11 a.m.
Never forget, 11-11.
That's right. And we're now just catching up because we just watched Pearl Harbor, and you know, that's pretty much it.
Pearl Harbor by listener request,
really?
Suggestion,
Who?
Yeah, on our Facebook page. Luis Allen Rizzo. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
That's but our fan.
He is our fan. He's been a big supporter of F This Movie, and a couple months ago on our Facebook page suggested a whole bunch of movies, and one of them was Pearl Harbor, and we thought, wow, what a great idea.
Yeah.
Because that is Doug's favorite movie.
Oh, Luis, this one's for you. No, that's absolutely untrue. That's not my favorite movie. It's my second favorite.
Your first favorite being?
Austin Powers, the Spy Who
Gold
Shagged
member?
Me.
Oh, Spy Who Shagged Me. Okay, now that is the good one.
K-Pax is my favorite movie.
F This Movie, where can you email F This Movie?
Oh, easily. First of all, you log on to your computer.
America Online.
America Online. You get some net
you
zero.
You go like, beep, bop, beep, boop, beep, boop, bop.
I just spit in. I think that's actually what happened. The computer spit all over me. You go to fthismovieblogspot@gmail.com. No, what is it?
I feel like we need to start over. fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
fthismoviepodcast.
That's how you email
at
us.
blogspot.gmail.
Our website is fthismovie.blogspot.com or facebook.com/fthismovie.
Nice, nice.
And
twitter.com/fthismovie.
Yeah.
Not at all. Well, just synced. It's a whole with the social media. You just
That's
link
right.
the things, and it's like, we're everywhere.
And you want more things
it's hot
to follow
here.
On
I take
Twitter.
My fleece off.
Yeah.
Oh, this is happening.
Here it is.
Now my pants are chafing me.
It's November, and while we're not really doing a theme month, if you've been paying attention to our website, fthismovie.blogspot.com, you'll see that all of the F This Movie crew has been posting lists of movies that they're thankful for.
That's not entirely true.
Okay.
We've been submitting the lists to you, and you've been posting them.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. It's a little semantic thing.
Are you mad that I changed 4 out of the 5 of yours?
Well, oh man, there's such a joke here. my brain isn't working fast enough. I apologize.
So are you mad that I changed 4 out of the 5 of yours? I gave you a little time there to come up with something.
I'm too busy giggling.
Oh, all right. Anyway, so, and at the bottom of those lists, if you've seen, it says, if you have a movie that you're thankful for and you want it read on the show, fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Nobody sent any so far, so
Nobody?
I'm not going to read any.
Well, no. That's surprising because people were obviously very, I keep saying obviously, and it's not
you really
obvious.
Do. You know why I think nobody has? Because nobody knows about it, I think, because
it's at the bottom of the lists.
Yeah, and I think people get us more from the podcast than they do from the website, you know what I mean? So now that I've announced it on a podcast.
But my point is that
people are going to do
the
it.
Website, there was that, you know, your 7-word review,
brilliant,
by the way.
Yeah. We talked about that on 20 different podcasts in October.
All right. I'm just saying. You can't be just
there
saying.
There were three new F This Movies a week in October.
By the way, the movies you changed on my list
were
K-Pax.
Okay.
Give me another second. I'll come up with 3 more.
K-Pax you already kind of said.
Damn
at the beginning.
Monkey Shines.
All right. That's not bad.
All right. Give me another second. Okay. Losing It.
Where they go down to Tijuana.
That's right.
Spanish
that's right.
Fly.
That's right.
With Shelley
right.
Long. Sex
and
symbol extraordinaire.
Poultrygeist.
Poultrygeist. Night of the Chicken Dead.
God damn, that's still like, I had some time and it wasn't even that funny. No. I apologize well, losing for wasting it, your time.
I feel like made its first appearance on F this movie. hey, Doug. Have you seen...
Yes. I know, sorry.
Have you seen anything good lately?
Yes.
Okay.
But nothing new. I just rewatched some old stuff.
You don't have to see new stuff.
Well, as you point out, there's really nothing... This is a... You haven't pointed this out on the podcast, but we...
In life, you're saying?
We talked before the podcast.
The podcast that is our life.
Absolutely. And you said there's really nothing out that's good right now.
No, well, not that much.
Well, this weekend, it's Harry Potter, which that's I'm excited right. about. But no, Shadi and I watched Iron Giant,
okay,
which is phenomenal.
Robert Downey Jr.
That's right. He plays
I have that wrong.
Tony Stark.
It's Billy Crystal and a huge guy that he wants in a movie,
that's
right?
That's not fun. What? That's not fun. That's not funny. I watched Iron Giant, which is Brad Bird's first movie, I think.
Yes.
And Brad Bird obviously
After
directed,
Family Dog, of course.
He directed Ratatouille and Incredibles and also Mission Impossible 4.
Ghost Protocol? Mission Impossible
is
Ghost
really
Protocol?
Is that really the tagline of
That's
it?
That's what they're going with.
Dark yeah. Lord Rises?
Dark of the Moon Rises. I don't know. Everything's the worst.
And Iron Giant's really good. It's a cartoon. It's not CGI. And it's kind of, at first you have
then
to
I
adjust
don't watch it.
To that because
Are there talking animals?
There is a squirrel that causes quite a ruckus okay. in a diner.
Are there pop culture references that the adults will get?
There's, it's definitely a cartoon for adults. In all seriousness, it's like 1950s.
So it's like heavy metal?
It's, there's hammers marching. No, that's the wall, right? What's heavy metal? That's just chicks with
boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Journey songs.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's also the White Sox World Series anthem.
Different Journey song.
Different Journey song, yeah. Don't Stop Believing? All right.
Not that.
But no, Iron Giant, you should see, because you like the right. 50s. I know you're a big fan of Joe Dante and
yes.
Matinee.
And the Cold War.
And the Cold War.
That was my favorite war.
It's very chilly. this movie kind of deals with a lot of that, and it's really dark at times. I mean, it's not really that dark. It's a cartoon, but it says some things. It talks about the bomb, and it's definitely not for kids, or if it is for kids, it's for nerdy kids like you and I were,
yeah.
who, you know, boys specifically, girls, this isn't really a girls movie, and you've seen this. I mean, it's like 10 years old, 11 years old.
I've never seen it.
No, I mean the people out there listening. I know you've never seen it.
Yeah.
It's good, and I also watched,
I
rewatched Marie Antoinette for the third time,
yeah.
and it's still good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I like that movie.
I like when she gets in the shower with Ryan Gosling naked.
Me too.
Oh,
that's not Marie Antoinette. No, it's not. That's a movie that's still to come.
And yet we've all seen this scene.
That's right. Go figure.
How is this movie that's not released yet? I've somehow seen on my computer.
I saw for the first time How the West Was Won,
which
is this big historical epic from the early 60s. If I were better prepared, I would have an exact year.
Yeah.
But of course, it's like nearly 3 hours long. Yeah. It has three different directors, including John Ford. All the big actors of the day, Gregory Peck is in it, and Jimmy Stewart's in it, and of course when they showed it theatrically...
George Wendt is in it, I
George
think.
Wendt does a little cameo. When they showed it theatrically, when it was originally out, it was a new process where it was projected on three screens simultaneously, so that basically it was like it took up 180 degrees of your field of vision. And,
so the screens were somehow like they like lined them up. Is
yeah.
That, okay.
Yeah, and you can kind of see it on the DVD. The Blu-ray offers two different ways to see it. One is called Smile Box, where it almost like
that's my new band.
Gets it distorts on the sides, but you sort of get an idea of what it looked like because of course it's flattened out, or just the regular, and it's a really thin because it was so wide.
It's also my new vagina, Smile Box.
But you can kind of see where the lines were, where the division was.
Okay.
It's not a particularly good movie.
That's what I was going to say. That's the reason you don't probably remember the date, because
right,
it didn't
feels,
blow you away.
A lot of times it feels like...
work?
Not work, like you're watching a school play.
So it feels like Leatherheads.
The writing is bad, and the acting is not great, even though there's a lot of famous people in it. It's really interesting to watch, you know, now we have something like Avatar. That's sort of our new... epic that's doing something different and groundbreaking and that's getting everybody out to theaters and stuff. But back then it was this, you know, this was like their big epic of the time, and it doesn't work as a movie, but it's an interesting little piece of
have
movie
have you ever
history.
Seen The Longest Day?
I never have.
Or Der Längste Tag?
No.
Okay. Well, this little conversation will go nowhere because I was going to ask you to compare it to that, because that's a movie I think is just epic and kind of deals with lots of different things and whatever else. It's kind of, I know it's earlier than...
But that movie like tries to tell a story, right? Because
How
the West Was Won is more just interested in like being a history lesson.
Okay.
It's, but it ends with like a shootout on a train.
How the West was fun.
Yeah, it's like they go through, like, Jimmy Stewart plays like a fur.
Wait, traitor. Jimmy Stewart's in it?
Yeah, he's in the Jimmy first Stewart like 10 or 15 minutes. He is in it for like the first 15 minutes. It's bad. It covers the Civil War and
really?
Westward expansion. It's not good. It's not a good movie. Anyway,
why'd you watch it?
I'd never seen it, and I wanted to, and I was Nerd curious alert. About this little piece of movie history.
Okay, okay. Yeah. What else have you seen?
Oh, what haven't Lots I of Chuck? Seen? We saw Morning Glory.
Oh.
Which was like a sitcom.
Okay. Was it?
It's not terrible. It's like, right. but it tried really hard to be terrible. It's a movie with like a script that's not horrible and actors that are capable and certainly likable enough, with the exception of Harrison Ford, who no longer performs. He just grunts.
He's subscribing to Clint Eastwood School.
Yeah. But it's completely done in by this direction where this guy just thinks this is how this movie's supposed to look and feel. And so every 15 seconds is a new, like, Natasha Bedingfield song and a montage.
She's good.
She is good. So it was KT very, Tunstall. Yeah, right. It's all that. And it was not a terrible movie, but not a particularly good movie. Though the costume department should get some accolades because there are scenes of Rachel McAdams in her underpants.
All right, I like that.
Yeah.
I like anyone in their underpants.
Gratuitously, although so. It doesn't feel organic.
She's appeared naked in movies before, though, so.
What do you want me to say? Not movies that I've seen. I saw Morning Glory.
Okay. Oh, you know what I remembered I saw also, and I know this is just, we're, you know, summarizing stuff we've seen, and we're trying to get to Pearl Harbor, a three-hour war epic, which I don't know if we'll take that long to talk about.
The West was one was the Pearl Harbor of its day.
I also saw for the first time, after Halloween, I borrowed from you, I saw Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel bad because I'm a big fan of scary movies and horror movies, and I love Night of the Living Dead, and I've seen a lot of his other ones. I've seen parts of Day of the Dead. I've seen Diary of the Dead, Land of the Dead. I've never seen Dawn of the Dead, which is considered to be the best, if not the second behind Night of the Living Dead.
It's my favorite of all.
I don't understand that at all, and I think that a lot of people out there probably were in my shoes when they first saw it, and they eventually come around. I don't know how that's possible, because when there's a pie fight with zombies and the blood is orange, I just don't. I know that that's not, that is, orange blood does not a movie make, but it's so distracting. And there's other parts of it that, like, the whole opening, the first 20 minutes are just nonsense. It takes them so long to get to the mall. They're in the mall. They have to clear out the mall. It's like, it just, it's go, there's a biker gang. It just, it's a mess. And I get why people love it, in as much as I know that when this came out, it was groundbreaking and it did different things. And he was saying something, which obviously the message doesn't resonate as much now, because it's been said, you know, 15 times. Exactly. Not 16, not 14, 15. It's been said a bunch of times. So that message obviously isn't as profound to me now, but I saw this thing and I was like, I wanted to love it. I really did. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. And I it was over and I was like, huh. And that's the end of that. You know, that was pretty much my reaction. And Shadia saw a bit of it too. She came home from work and was watching. She's like, what is this? And she hates scary movies, but even this, she was just like, this isn't even scary. This is just weird and kind of bad.
It's not really interested in being scary, I would suggest. It's trying to do something very different from Night of the Living Dead. I don't know. I would say take a few years off from it and come back to it.
All right.
And perhaps your opinion will change.
All right.
Because I had a similar reaction. I watched it when I was probably like a freshman in high school, because Roger Ebert had given it 4 stars.
Which,
and I was
for
excited.
The record, is where I'm mentally at right now. I'm at your freshman year in high school. It's 1991, and I'm there. Go.
I got it from the library.
Okay.
And
what's that?
Yeah. It's
weird. Is that where I get my Kindle books?
And I took it home and watched it alone on my mom's couch. And I had the same reaction. It was like I was waiting for a 4-star horror movie, and instead it was a biker gang having a pie fight, and I thought, I don't get this. And then I took a couple years off and came back to it and liked it a lot more. And every time I watch it now, I end up liking it more. So
why? I mean, I know it's hard to explain why, but like, how do you like it? What's the reason you like it more? And maybe if you honestly, and this is not to, I know this, I make this joke a lot, but email fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com with your take on this.
Because
I am really so curious as to why this is.
I like that game. Everybody email at thismoviepodcast@gmail.com to explain to Doug why Dawn of the Dead
please,
is a masterpiece.
Please, please do.
I think it's great.
Because I've read it. I also go on the Wikipedia and the RogerEbert.com and stuff like that. And
now
I read
you know
about
Wikipedia,
it.
Probably just giving you a plot summary, right? You're like, this doesn't tell me why this movie's good. This
yeah, but
tells
I linked
me what
out
happened.
Of it to Mall, you know, Malls in America, that other entry. And all of a sudden I was reading about the history of Lord and Taylor. It's a big Michigas.
Anyway, I think it's a great movie. And you're wrong. No, you're not wrong. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, of course. Let's talk about Pearl Harbor.
Let's not.
Here's the thing about
why Luis Alan Rizzo, please email fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com and explain why.
He was right to pick this movie.
I know you absolutely are, but are you a fan? I don't know how to approach this. And not to say like this is going to change how I'm going to talk about this, but are you a fan of it or are you not? Or do you think it's just good fodder for a podcast talking about movies? Because God damn it, this movie is just such a pile of something.
The movie Pearl Harbor is my Pearl Harbor.
All right.
It's my, anyway. I am not a Michael Bay fan, but I have long contended that he gets worse with every movie.
Yeah, I think that's very true.
But rewatching Pearl Harbor, I almost had to rethink that.
You think that that's worse than like Transformers Revenge of the Fallen?
No.
You think that that's worse than The Island?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I might stick with my original assessment. I don't know. But it's way worse than I remember it being. Not that I ever thought it was good. But we were excited to see Pearl Harbor. Let's back up a little. We knew Veterans Day was coming. We wanted to do a Veterans Day themed show.
Let's back up even more.
Shit the bed and missed Veterans Day entirely.
Veterans Day used to be called Armistice Day.
Right.
We're going to talk about the history.
Let's back up even
okay.
more.
Okay. America was founded on a basic set of principles. No, I'm sorry. Veterans Day, God bless you. Happy anniversary, veterans.
Well, here's the problem. So we
happy birthday,
to,
veterans? I don't know.
We're going to pick a war movie. Doug really likes war movies.
Oh, yeah.
And war and history.
I do.
And I just like movies.
So me,
together,
not so much.
We're like peanut butter and jelly.
We're two like, great tastes that taste great together.
We're like the goober grape of podcasts.
Nice. The mustard A&A's, if you will.
Vonnie's. So we're going to pick a war movie, and then it becomes what war movie do we talk about, and it was maybe going to be Saving Private Ryan, but guess what? I have some problems with Saving Private Ryan, and unfortunately, if you do a Saving Private Ryan podcast in conjunction with Veterans Day, I come off looking like a dick.
Yeah, there is an
I'm
element.
Being critical of a movie that honors our troops.
Here's, I'll defend you for 2 seconds
Thank
and say
you.
That like...
No one else defends
I know.
Me,
well, that's
including
why
my attorneys.
I think that you're... position on Saving Private Ryan is very interesting and worth discussing. In fact, I'd love to do a podcast on that in the future.
Right now?
But to your point, let's talk about it.
All right.
Let's get to it. Ted Danson, what's going on?
Sticky bombs. Hello?
Sticky bombs. All right, but to your point, I think that, yeah, if we are going to make this Happy Veterans Day,
right.
That piece of shit movie.
That's... I don't think it's a piece of shit, by the way.
Yeah, whatever.
So when you're emailing fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com to tell Doug why Dawn of the Dead is awesome, don't say, and fuck you for not liking Saving Private Ryan, because I kind of like Saving
Please
Private Ryan.
Please write that, by the way. Don't listen to him.
I won't read
He's
that.
He's drunk on power. Yeah, you're right, though. Saving Private Ryan is a movie that's a little more, I think if you did take a very opposing approach to it,
yeah.
You might get some
It's
blowback.
Just the wrong occasion, because
right.
People do sort of hold that movie very near and dear, whereas does anyone really respect Pearl Harbor? Maybe.
I don't think so. I can't imagine.
Maybe they do. Somebody has to like it. So,
but Saving Private Ryan, to your point,
oh,
I think
yeah.
that I like it way more than you do. We'll talk about this in the future, hopefully, if this thing isn't pulled off the air by the man. And but it's not a masterpiece, but it is better than you think. So in your face.
You're talking about Pearl Harbor, right?
Oh, shit.
Okay, so like what? The year 2000, roughly?
2001.
Well, this is when it came out, but previews, trailers probably started appearing in like 2000.
2002.
And
I saw trailers after it came out.
Pearl Harbor had a pretty decent trailer.
I'll go one step further.
Okay.
Pearl Harbor's trailer was awesome.
It was like, it was a lot of sort of very carefully constructed, iconic shots, which in the trailer worked
it's
for
perfect.
You.
The
but
trailer...
then you realize in the movie they're horrible.
I
Those
would,
same shots
I would
in the context
say...
of a movie are the worst.
So that trailer, and I know like obviously trailer, the art of crafting trailers mm-hmm. is such a industry nowadays.
Right.
And perhaps back then it wasn't as big an industry, although I do posit that it still was an industry.
Yeah.
I mean, especially compared to the 80s when it just, they literally slap, you know, 15 seconds of movie with disjointed scenes together and the trailers are just all over the place. But that trailer is probably one of the best ones. I feel like in the time I saw it, was probably one of the best trailers I saw. It got me so excited to see this movie.
It was FDR's narration and cool music and lots of great shots. And you're like, wow, Michael Bay. Like,
really well done shots. May have
finally found his wheelhouse and, like, maybe he's the guy to do this.
And this on top of the fact that I think we both were of the knowledge that, like, we're not huge Michael Bay fans. I think Armageddon is fun.
Yeah, like, he hadn't become
the
Antichrist yet. Well, he just was a kind of a hack, but he wasn't he wasn't Michael Bay yet. And it's funny that, like, I saw the trailer for Pearl Harbor and I was like, maybe this is what Michael Bay was fucking put on Earth to do, right? And then I saw Pearl Harbor and I'm like, no, clearly he was not. And then years later, the trailer for Transformers came out, which is like 180 degrees sort of the other way in theory. And I was like, no, Michael Bay is probably the right guy to do Transformers, right? Meanwhile, no, Michael Bay is not the right guy. Do you want to
defend me about Transformers for 2 seconds, by the way?
What do I have to defend?
If you're talking about Transformers as a live action movie, do you want to give me some props?
Oh, for years, Doug said they should make a Transformers movie.
I mean, I'm talking about since like the early 90s. Yeah. I was advocating for live-action Transformer movies, and which I am now embarrassed that Michael Bay put out what is out there because it's such garbage. But again,
on paper, he seems like the guy to do that movie, right?
I wanted to make this, like, rated R, really dark and grimy Transformers movies. Like where movies.
Optimus Prime gets killed trying to open the Autobots
Matrix of Leadership. That's my second band, Autobox. Where he's like, Smilebox opens for Autobox.
It's like, open, damn it, open! And then he dies.
Absolutely. So I just want to get a little props, and hopefully a check is forthcoming to
thismoviepodcast@gmail.com. The third in the Transformers trilogy.
That's when I get my sweet greenbacks. That's,
I think, when you start getting...
It's all about the
cabbage, your Transformers residuals.
It's all about the dead presidents.
So, Pearl Harbor comes out in 2001...
60 years after Pearl Harbor.
In May of 2001, and is sort of the kickoff to the summer movie season. And I hand it over to Doug.
Where to begin? 2001 was a good year. Wait, that was a horrible year.
Here's something that's interesting about Pearl Harbor. Like,
what was worse? It came out Pearl Harbor or 9/11?
It came out just a few months before 9/11, right?
By the way, that's totally... I'm just kidding. Don't take that out of context.
But, like, imagine...
Please take it out of context.
If Pearl Harbor wasn't slated to come out till like, December, would they even put it out?
Yes.
You think so?
Absolutely. It would have been a different... 9/11? It would have been a different... Like, they might not a rallying cry type movie.
I don't know.
For 9/11.
I would have felt like too soon.
Well, did football start in December?
It might have.
So, football can start.
America was ready. I know we were ready to laugh again because Zoolander had come out. So I know we were okay to laugh again.
But it was are you ready for some football in a minor key? Are you ready for some football? It's all minor, like, wow, they're serious about, you know, patriotism. Patriotism? Is that a word?
Yeah, it's when the Patriots played.
Nice. New England Patriots.
Yeah, let's talk about them.
And go Pats.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Pearl Harbor from May of 2001. To your point, it's a good question. My gut reaction, obviously, is I think that it would still come out in December. But I think they might re-spin it or even cut some stuff out or reshape it.
Like all the shots of the World Trade Center.
It's taking a turn.
Yeah, this is really a dark.
I don't even know where to start. But I think that they might have like reshaped it or recast it or something to try to make it like this rallying call.
Like you're out.
To you know,
Sully Sullenberger, you're in.
I haven't done anything yet.
I don't know where to start with Pearl Harbor. I want to say that we should start with the fact that Ben Affleck's character is named Rafe.
All right.
Randall Wallace, who, by the way, is a shitty, hacky screenwriter.
But a great director of Secretariat.
He
also directed We Were Soldiers.
Yeah, which is another shitty movie. Oh, and God, wrote Braveheart, bigger which piece of no shit. One remembers.
I think We Were Soldiers is shittier than Pearl Harbor.
You might be right, but you might also be wrong. I honestly don't know.
Interesting.
I would need to rewatch We Were Soldiers, which I'm not willing to do.
There in and of itself, though, proves my point. You're willing to watch Pearl Harbor again.
Pearl Harbor at least has some cool shots.
Yeah.
However,
no.
That's a huge part of the problem with Pearl Harbor. Because here's the thing about Pearl Harbor. Michael Bay is a hack. And that's not news to anyone. But Michael Bay doesn't have an interesting idea anywhere. He has he has a style.
Yeah.
But no voice. And the only
style, no substance, yes, right? Thank something you. Like that.
We're done here at this movie. Thanks, everyone. This movie exists because of two movies, right? Saving Private Ryan and Titanic. And it was Michael Bay saying, hey, both of those movies were successful and respected because this was obviously his grab at like sort of critical acclaim.
Right.
And so he decided to marry those two things and make Pearl Harbor, because apparently there's an R-rated cut of Pearl Harbor that's available on DVD where he goes for the real graphic violence, limbs being blown off and all that shit, because Saving Private Ryan had done that, so why shouldn't his movie do that?
Right.
Can you imagine how out of place that would feel in the movie that you saw?
Right, right, right.
If this movie tried to get, like, gritty and real, there is nothing approaching gritty realism in any single frame of Pearl Harbor.
The movie has an A-team quality to it, and I say this because I remember watching the A-team when I was a kid with my brother Rich, and my parents would have been in and out of the room, but they would, you know, A-Team, I doubt that show holds up. I have not seen an episode in a decade, but I remember loving A-Team, how they would, like, have this mission. There'd be the whole montage sequence where they make a tank out of a car, and then they'd attack the bad guys. And it was every, I guess you could apply this to a lot of TV shows, like Dukes of Hazzard also was like this, but, like, when they would attack the bad guys, cars would flip over, there'd be colorful explosions, but people would crawl out, there'd be no cut scrapes, no one's wounded, there's no limbs, there's no blood. And that was Pearl Harbor. However, the disc that you own, which is also the disc that I watched, does have extra minutes. I read up on this and has more carnage than the theatrical cut.
Oh,
yes.
See, I thought we just watched the theatrical PG-13.
The 60th anniversary cut, which came out, was a commemorative edition. It has like 13 extra minutes, including like some campfire scenes and some motivational scenes with Alec Baldwin talking to them
about
friendship.
That's the one we saw?
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah, I remember those scenes. But it also has some. And it does have some bullets going through people, which I don't remember from the theatrical cut.
Okay, I don't remember.
But you're right. It's got this A-team quality to it. It's like nothing really. I mean, obviously people are dying. You see the hands coming up through the hull of the boat, and they die because they're drowning. But
it's pronounced drowning.
They're drowning. Thank you, Patrick. I always make that mistake. But there's no blood, and there's no whatever. But I want to go back.
People don't bleed when they drown.
I want to go back to the trailer for 2 seconds because I remember. Again, watching this trailer being blown away just by, like, wow, that looks really good. Again, it looks really good. But I remember talking to you. We both saw the trailer, I think, separately, and then got together and we're talking about this. And I said, just from a historic standpoint, I made a comment that, like, this, I don't understand how this movie, what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, obviously, Pearl Harbor is this attack on America that was, like, surprise attack and, you know, unwarranted, supposedly. I mean, you can make those arguments. I'm not talking politics or whatever, but you could argue that America didn't know about it or did know about it, but regardless, the common history is that we didn't know about this surprise attack, and it was devastating, and because of that, we entered World War II, which then went on for 5 more years. I think August of 45 was when the peace was signed in the Pacific, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong,
Luis. It's pronounced specific.
Specific. So my thought was like, okay, this attack, how is this movie going to end? It's a 2-hour movie. I was so sorely mistaken. It's a 3-hour movie that is going to end with this is the climax of the movie.
Red.
The attack of Pearl Harbor.
No, it has to end with us winning.
My God, there's so much. There's this whole, I'm going to jump into
the
it
The attack
right now.
On Pearl Harbor is only the middle section.
It is the middle section, and it feels like the end of the movie, and there's still an hour after the attack on Pearl Harbor, which, by the way, the attack itself takes like 45 minutes.
Right.
Of the movie.
The disc that we watched, it's split up over 2 discs because there's less compression and it looks better, basically, if they split it up.
This wasn't a Blu-ray.
The first disc ends after the attack on Pearl Harbor, and you're like, I still have another disc of movie to watch?
I was definitely like, I didn't know it was a 2-disc.
You should have just stopped. Really.
And that's the end of that.
I saw what I came for.
Right. But I mean, it goes on. Let me just talk real quick about this, like, not the plot, because who cares, really? Although we might want
to
talk about that because the plot is absurd. But he's doing so much in this movie. There's not only the logistics of having a war movie and these big players like FDR and the
played by John Lovitz in prosthetics.
The Admiral of the Pacific Fleet and all these kind of big archetypes. But you've also got this love story with these fictional characters. But you've got this nurse and this whole nurse subplot of like how they help. You've got Dory, I think Wilson is his last name,
mm-hmm.
the first African-American sailor to receive a Medal of Honor.
Academy Award winner Cuba Gooding Jr.
I'm getting this so...
Snow Dogs fame, of Men of Honor fame.
By the way, I'm getting this so wrong. I
Radio
don't know the
himself.
Award he got, and I apologize to the
boat trip
history people out there. But you're talking about him. You're talking about there's also a little B story about Ben Affleck going to Europe and fighting with the the Royal Air Force and the Eagles, which is an American outfit, that it's like, what are we?
If there's any more like you. I don't remember the rest.
He says something like, I damn the country whoever goes to war with America.
He's British, I think, but everyone in Pearl Harbor talks like this.
They're all from the 20s. My point simply is that there's so much going on. And here's the thing, like, if you want to talk about like the nursing effort in World War II, not even World War II, because that is a huge thing to bite off.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do a movie on the nursing effort. You talk nursing effort for just Pearl Harbor. That's a whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
A movie, I'll be honest, I'm not really interested in seeing.
Right.
But here it is, like, shoehorned in here and jammed in here, and it's like you got James King dying. By the way, when they...
Dude, spoiler.
I don't care.
James King does not make it to the end of Pearl Harbor.
When the guy, when the sailor brings up this, like, limp, lifeless body, and the blonde hair... Might
James King alive?
She was great in Slackers.
Is there anything different? James King, the actress, and James King, the corpse.
There's blonde hair covering her, and right away your thought is, well, that's obviously Jamie King. She changed her name after this movie, by the way, I think, that, like, she...
Because trying to distance herself from Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor was her Pearl Harbor?
Pearl Harbor was her Vietnam.
What's so insulting about that moment, and what smacks of what's so insulting about the movie overall? Because this really is an insulting movie. And I say this as someone who's not fought in a war, who doesn't necessarily have any family. I think my dad's dad fought in a war, but, like, I don't come from a long line of military people. You might have guessed that about me. And yet I'm still insulted by this movie because I think it just shits all over anything real about war or combat, any of that experience.
Right.
It's only about what has happened in older corny movies.
Yeah.
It's entirely informed by movie cliches, but it's presented as though it's like this gritty realism. When the reveal of James King being dead is really supposed to impact us, and we're supposed to be like, oh, I feel so sad that this one character just died. Everyone around is dying. Like, that's what we should be reacting to. It's tragedy everywhere.
Well, that's
so many people have died,
also.
But, like, we're supposed to give a shit that James King, who had 8 lines and was engaged to be married,
to a stutterer.
Right.
Oh, shouldn't be hard. Jesus. But that's exemplified in the line, I think the single most line you hate.
It's my favorite line, yeah.
Which is...
I got to give some context for it.
But I think that, yeah, my point is that this relates to that.
Right, that it boils down this conflict to the bullshit problems of this group of shallow people.
Who are fictional and made up.
Right, Ben Affleck as Rafe goes off to Europe. Hitler and his Nazi thugs are Europe's problem. and his plane crashes and he is presumed dead. And Kate Beckinsale, back home, who has one expression throughout the entire movie and still fails to register at all as an actress or as a human being
movie. I will argue that I think that you might be a little harsh.
No, I'm not.
But I think that this movie also doesn't give her anything to do.
It doesn't give any of them anything to
do. So.
Which I have to ask. Remind me of that later. So they were in love because they went out on one date. And now she thinks he's dead, so of course...
But what a date. They were in, like, New York Harbor, like, scaling the Queen Mary or something.
And now... So she sort of falls in love with Ben Affleck's best friend, Josh Hartnett.
He gave up sex for 40 days and 40 nights to be with her. So I've heard.
Ben Affleck then returns to the United States, not dead at all.
What?
Yeah, in a surprise turn of events. Just in time for Pearl Harbor, he returns... And the attack on Pearl Harbor happens. Kate Beckinsale, spoilers for Pearl Harbor, finds out that she is pregnant.
Spoilers for Pearl Harbor. It's a giant piece of shit.
With Josh Hartnett's baby. Because her and Rafe had never made love. Hmm. They had never shared a bed.
Hmm.
So after the attack, she's finally talking about it with Ben Affleck. And... says something to the effect of, like, I was going to tell you about me and Josh Hartnett, but, you know, I thought you were dead. And then the line that we're talking about is she says, and then all this happened. And the all this she's referring to is the fucking attack on Pearl Harbor. I couldn't tell you about my boyfriend. All this happened.
Right.
And I was going to tell you, but then all this.
I got swamped at work.
Just.
I forgot this magazine.
Again, it boils down, you know, the biggest tragedy in American history pre-September 11th to this stupid romantic subplot. There's a scene just immediately following the attack where they're donating blood. Both Ben Affleck and Josh Hartnett are donating blood into Coke bottles because that's all they had. And that's fine. Little details like that. I'm like, okay, if that's a real thing, or is it just Michael Bay taking a check from Coke? I don't know. Like, Coke helped with the war effort. They also helped with the Nazis. I don't know if they did. I don't know if they did, Coke. I'm sorry. I drink you all the time.
I drink it down.
So that's fine. That's a little detail. Okay. But then it's just the three of them like glaring at each other like, this is uncomfortable. Like, no, everyone around you is dying. James King just died. Your right. friend, James King.
Betty.
World War II just started, in the words of Josh Hartnett.
That's another line I want to talk about. Let's just talk real quick about horrible lines. Well, just those two lines.
It's every line in the movie. Every line is the worst
thing. Let me preface this by talking about
Fuck you, Randall Wallace.
A movie called The Patriot.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Patrick's favorite movie.
He's right.
About patriots.
I like Patriot Games.
Okay.
But that makes it, that turns patriotism into a game. So I like The Patriot more when it's about taking revenge for the murder of your son. It's not about patriotism at all. It's like you're mad because someone killed your son.
Right, right.
And so now you start a militia.
There's a line in The Patriot where a girl, a young girl and a young man are on a dock. And the Revolutionary War is raging around them.
It's, yeah, it's Jolie Richardson and Mel Gibson, I think.
Is it Mel Gibson?
I believe so.
I thought it was a, oh man, I haven't seen that movie.
I could be wrong.
You know what, you're probably right. I have not seen this movie on purpose in a long, long time. But I remember this movie, and we've talked about this line before.
Yeah.
She says something to the effect of,
like
he's like, can I sit here? Yeah, he says, can I sit here?
And she says, seat's taken.
And she says, it's a free country.
Dot, dot, dot.
Or it will be.
Barf.
Or like, or it soon will be. I mean, something so fucking awful like that. That's just like, what? You can't take jingoism from the 1900s right. or the 20th century and, you know, like apply that to the 1700s. It just, it's insane. And that's the whole thing, like, where these cliched fucking lines that you got Josh Hartnett picking up a phone and shouting to Tom Sizemore, who Patrick has long argued that you cannot fight a war without, because there was a stretch for like 3 or 4 years where he was in every
He shows up in every war movie. Yeah.
Where Josh Hartnett screams on the phone, I think World War II just started!
It's like, well, it's movies that are just informed by what we know today, and so we just assume that they can talk about it in those terms.
My God. And that is probably the second worst line, but there are a bunch of shitty.
No, it's the, what's his name, saying we have awoken a sleeping giant. I mean, yeah. It's that same
which
shit.
Which is almost, just, I don't know if it's more offensive or less offensive because it's not spoken, it's just
all
read.
Of the
it's
scenes
all
with
in
them.
Japanese
all
and
of
subtitles.
The scenes with the Japanese are offensive to me.
But I know, absolutely. But I'm just saying, like, that specific line, I think we have awoken a sleeping giant. Is
right.
it funnier or is it less funny? Because
right.
it's like,
right.
I'm reading this
right.
and I'm hearing very,
right.
I have to assume, cold readings of, like, these lines that these actors from Japan don't want to read.
Again, Michael Bay's total, like, the Japanese could not be more foreign to Michael Bay, and the movie makes them such, so alien and just like, we have achieved the element of surprise. We no longer have surprise.
We must return to Clendathu.
The way that they speak, even in subtitles, is so offensive. As is the treatment of Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character.
You keep calling him Cuba. I love it.
I thought that was his name. Is it Cuba? Cuba Gooding Jr.?
I hope it's Cuba.
The way he is treated, we're supposed to. It's so racist.
It really
like,
is.
It's so condescending towards his character.
It's an interesting thing, though.
Kate Beckinsale, like, we're. Is supposed to engender goodwill because she's nice to him. Like, oh,
right.
she's nice to a black guy.
The way
she's
the movie's
great. And we know he's great because pretty soon we're all going to accept the blacks. And
someday, president.
Yeah, oh, God.
President Cuba Gooding Jr.
And Michael Bay just fucking patting himself on the back. Like, look at me, ahead of my time with the race relations.
But to your point, it's a scene. It's the whole, every scene with him is, you're incredibly right. It's racist. It's insulting. It's bewildering. But it's done so ham-fistedly and so just
well,
insanely, like, that they're so convinced of their own, like, I'm not racist, look what I did. It's like, that's right, you're defining racism.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So let me ask you this. Yeah. There's so much we could say about Pearl Harbor because it's so
purple,
fucking horrible.
I'm just giving you answers.
All of these actors sign on because they think they're going to be a part of something big and special. Titanic was a big hit. And again, Titanic, you know, a lot of people dislike it. I think ultimately that movie works. It has a lot of problems. I think it works. And I understand the way that the love story is sort of worked into this overall story of the sinking of the Titanic. To me, that sort of makes sense.
Well, it gives it something human and real to right. associate with and to right. understand.
Right.
To kind of go along with these characters who, I'm not a huge fan of that part of Titanic. I don't know. Like, it's okay. I do love Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
But it's something you could definitely latch on to.
And it's more about, you know, the movie sort of has this overall tone about, like, doomed love and fate and destiny, you know, and that sort of stuff. And that's more interesting because with Pearl Harbor, that you can't take that approach, I don't think. But they tried. They said, well, they made a love story, so ours is going to be a love story for the first, I don't know, hour and a half, and then this attack on Pearl Harbor, and then Doolittle's raid. So all these actors sign on, and none of them are huge at the time. Ben Affleck is just about at his peak, I guess. He's sort of the biggest star.
He is
the
definitely the A-lister.
And he unfortunately, you know, made a lot of bad decisions and cashed in a lot trying to be a movie star with movies like Pearl Harbor.
But I don't think Pearl Harbor is what sunk him.
No, I don't either. Intended. It was like, too many Pearl Harbors, yeah. I think, is the
Well,
issue.
No, not even so much that. I think if he only made Pearl Harbors, that'd be one thing. But he makes other, like, worse... I can't even think of the other one. Like, with... This is so bad. There's other movies that like are just unmemorable. Like we've forgotten. Yeah. Case in point, I don't remember these
Paycheck.
Other movies.
Paycheck. John Woo's Paycheck.
Absolutely.
The ironically titled Paycheck. So, which of the actors that are in the movie know
Alec Baldwin?
Okay. What a piece of shit they're in. It's impossible to watch Alec Baldwin. The movie came out before 30 Rock.
Yeah.
But now you watch it as somebody who watches 30 Rock, and you're like, it's Jack Donaghy.
Oh, my God.
But without funny lines, right? It's embarrassing, but he knows the movie he's in.
I would think he would know.
He has to, right?
I would hope so, because he obviously is proven to be a person, like an actor of talent. He has a comedic side. He's got a dramatic side. He's got the chops. He has experience. He's older. I would have to think that he knows he's in a big piece of
because
shit.
Because he has some of the worst lines in every one of his
lines.
A speech and a lesson.
And he delivers it so...
You know why we're going to win this war?
I mean, it is...
Because of men like those two.
Right. It is so, like,
victory
cartoonish.
Belongs to the one who wants it the most.
Right.
Like, no, it doesn't. It belongs to the ones who are left alive at the end. You can want it all you want. I can want to beat the shit out of Mike Tyson. Just because I want it the most doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Right. But I think Alec Baldwin, to your point...
By the way, Mike Tyson, let's call this off, okay? this has gone on too long.
Did you hear, by the way, this is total side note, that...
Détente!
Bill Clinton...
Détente!
...is doing a cameo in The Hangover 2?
Yes.
That makes me wince with douche chills.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Well, he already did his cameo in Contact.
He was in Contact?
No, not really, but like digital.
Oh.
They used his likeness, and I think that was an issue at the time. Like, yeah. Zemeckis caught some shit.
Well, he was still president at the time, too, wasn't he? Contact
yes.
came out in the 90s.
Yeah, he was.
Anyway, I forgot. Oh, Alec Baldwin. So he obviously is channeling, you know, Jack Donaghy 10 years before,
right.
7 years before 30 Rock comes out. But every line he says, again, I have to think that he knows he's in this movie. And he knows the lines he's delivering are pretty ridiculous. And he's giving like a very campy, like throwback performance, which is almost in line with Michael Bay's influences, but not at all with like everyone else around him who thinks that they're making something totally different.
Right.
I don't know. But you're right. Every speech
Ben Affleck's not a dummy. Like, he's a smart guy.
Right.
Is he just sort of cashing in? Is he trying to just be a movie star? Or does he know what he's in and he's saying...
Well, I think there's a certain point, too, where you sign up for a movie and you think it's going to be something. And you always hear stories, too, and like, I made this movie, I thought it was going to be very different.
Like,
even like when they see the first cut, they're like, wow, that's not at all what
no
I thought.
But no one read that script and said, this can be good.
Why is Randall Wallace like, you know, continuing to work? He wrote Braveheart, which, as you pointed out yesterday, or 2 days ago, which I thought was very, very good. Very,
very
smart of you.
It was very yes.
Very yes of you. Very, very positive. You pointed out that Braveheart is a good movie. Not at all
remembered. I didn't even say that.
Not at all remembered for its dialogue. It's not right. good because of its dialogue. There's nothing right. about what they
it's
say.
It's remembered for its anti-Semitism.
Absolutely. It's remembered for its passion. And he also wrote some other shitty movies that aren't even worth mentioning right now, but he still is making... Now he's a director.
Yeah.
He just directed Secretariat, which I've not seen, but I've also heard is just like... forgettable and just dumb and just, you know.
And probably exists in movie cliches, but I guess for a movie about a horse race, I don't care as much. Right. And not that I, you know.
It's also like at the Disney kind of like, right, you know, exactly. umbrella where, I don't know, but he wrote this movie and I just, you know, even if they read it, they might have thought, well, in the right hands that maybe we can, you know, it might come across differently or something mm-hmm. like that. But you're right. I think that it's just so obviously from the get-go was doomed.
I don't think there's any way in sort of the post-Saving Private Ryan world, and I don't even agree with the idea that, like, now everything has to be shot the way that D-Day was shot.
My God, that has changed so much about
right, war and, stuff. And it's influenced so much, and I don't say that, like, Pearl Harbor had to copy that, but they went 180 degrees, which I've said too many times on this podcast already.
By the way, they've gone already 360 degrees. They're back where we started.
The other way, because one of the huge problems with Pearl Harbor, aside from the terrible dialogue and bad plotting and awful performances and the fact that Michael Bay is directing it and the length, is that it's so utterly artificial, not just the way that people talk, but watching every shot, like Michael Bay makes very specific, calculated compositions. And that's fine, but it's wrong for a war movie where it's all supposed to be about sort of kinetic energy and chaos, right? That's what war is. It's just chaos and carnage, and you don't know where things are coming from or what's happening, and that's what Saving Private Ryan gets right in those opening minutes. But in every frame of Pearl Harbor, you feel Michael Bay, like, on the set, adjusting things so that it looks exactly right, so that
absolutely.
We have the two actors, and then this blue sky, and then a flag in the background, and that's the composition, and well, it's okay if it's only 5 seconds.
It goes back to his music video roots. I mean, he right. obviously cut his teeth on directing very yeah. quick music videos.
Right.
And everything is like a two-second movie. You
right.
put, like, enough of those together, you have over 180 minutes of bullshit. Before I watched it again, it's available on YouTube. If you have the patience, it's
to
broken
watch 18 minutes. It's broken, 18 clips.
It's broken up into 18 10-minute sections of
Which
Pearl Harbor.
Seems doable when you say it that way. Like, oh, it's only 18.
Right,
no
right.
No problem. But
right.
that is 180 minutes.
But I like at lunch one day at work. Wait a minute. At lunch one day at home. Yes, not at work. I watched the first half of the first section. I couldn't even get through that. And it's the scene where they're flying. There's a crop duster that's like, it's
oh,
a beautiful
opening scene.
Idyllic sunset. Oh. It's like this beautiful orange sky or sunrise because it gets brighter. I don't know. This biplane comes over. It's crop dusting. These kids are in this like this junked biplane with this homemade cockpit and everything like that. And they're playing all, you know, they're playing war basically, but all their lines are like, land of the free, says character A, home of the brave, says character B, and it's all quick, and it's all just these jump cuts that are crazy, and then you realize, now you do more research, and again, I did a little show prep, a lot of that is like, that biplane that they're featuring wasn't invented, or what didn't come out until a couple years after
Doesn't
that was
matter.
Supposed to take place.
Michael Bay decided it's what looked coolest.
And this is my point, and that's a kind of a bad example to say this whole point, but it's to your point, is that everything is idyllic and iconic, and what he thinks it should look like based upon comic books or
right.
Or histories or other corny,
right.
sappy, you know, Capra-esque Capricorn war movies where you've got the flag in the background, this, that, and the other. And even like the blood in the Coke bottles, as you mentioned earlier, like mm-hmm. who knows why he put that in there? Is it because they actually did that? I don't think so. I really don't. Right. Is it because he's getting money from Coke?
He just decided it was Americana.
That's my gut reaction, right. and I could be wrong, Luis Ellen Rizzo. If you know better, email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. But my thought is that's Coca-Cola bottles. Everything is just the best, you know, like you said, Alec Baldwin's talking about those guys right there yeah. are the ones who are going to like, and it's the greatest generation, and Tom Brokaw is like coming in
his pants. It's completely just about jerking off America
right.
the entire movie.
Absolutely.
Embarrassingly
well,
so.
I mean, okay, you've got the two other nationalities who are featured in this movie. The Japanese, as you point out, the worst line of dialogue, or one of the worst lines.
It's hard to pick.
Red dialogue. The line, right. Worst line the that worst I read on screen in the is movie. That we've awoken a sleeping giant.
Right.
That Japan knows that it's met its match in the seconds after they beat the shit out of our Pacific
Well, no, because then the one guy says, like, you are a great man. And he says, a great man would find a way not to fight.
Right.
So there is a message of peace.
And then, of course, you've got the British guy who's leading, I guess, the Eagle Squadron of the RAF. And he says the line earlier, and I we both got it wrong. We talked in 1920s talkies voice. But it's he says, like, any country that goes to war with America, you know, like, they're screwed. And it's like, I would feel I could only imagine if a different country made a movie about themselves, and I'm the American, mm-hmm. and I have to say, like, wow, Sri Lanka, really, you go.
You guys are awesome.
Right.
Nobody better mess with you. But again, that's the point of the movie, because while there's an hour section in the middle that's devoted to us getting our asses kicked because Japan had the element of surprise.
Right.
You can't go out on that. You can't. The movie can't end with us losing.
Unless it's a Japanese movie.
Right. Which then it would be fine. So then we get a whole second or a third act, which is Doolittle's raid, so that we have a victory.
We win. I mentioned earlier, and I said this movie is so messy and so muddled.
It should have ended with Hiroshima.
It's got, Jesus. It's got all these little B plots or components that make up the whole movie, mm-hmm. but each one of those could be an entire movie. I mentioned earlier the nurses in Pearl Harbor. Again, and I don't want to sound, anti-nursing. I don't know if that... But that's not a movie that necessarily interests me. I'm just putting that out there. But there's also, like, him going to fight with the British. That is interesting. Right. What is it? And by the way, I also read up on that, like, no person that was enlisted in the Army or the Army Air Corps they were prohibited from joining that force. It was civilians and citizens of America that did that, but no. Again, it's all just like fucking, whatever Michael Bay wants. You've got Dory... I forgot his last name.
Why try and include this guy, who's a real guy?
Right.
Cuba
the African-American sailor. Right.
Who's like a real guy. Or those little details, which to me, like the nurses writing on the victims with lipstick or using their nylons as tourniquets or stuff, and it's like... Oh, these little touches of, like, here's what really happened, which smacks of Randall Wallace, spending an hour researching. Like, here's four things they did.
Okay, no, it's Randall Wallace looking at a calendar of Norman Rockwell. It's right. This is like, there's a turkey in the background.
I remember that series of paintings he did of nurses writing on dead bodies with lipstick.
Well, it's even like, I'll even say to the Norman Rockwell point, and I don't mean to interrupt, there's like kids playing baseball as the Japanese Zeros. Are flying.
In the field.
There's doing that too, but there's a baseball game going on, which is, by the way,
6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, Pearl Harbor was I think seven o'clock ish. But that
doesn't
right
matter.
Before the attack.
See, baseball is American.
Absolutely. So you've got Coca-Cola, you've got baseball. I'm surprised you got fucking pies on the Arizona deck.
So,
I mean, honestly, they're a bunch of pie fuckers.
So why? But what I was saying was why include these details that are perhaps true, like about the nurses, but then get such huge things wrong, like the fact that no American servicemen were allowed to fight overseas.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, no American servicemen fought in that
Eagle
Squadron.
Which the entire
movie
essentially hinges upon.
Right. Or even this great story about this African-American sailor who does this admirable thing. But it's so pandering. And he's like with the guy, with the commander or captain as he dies and goes to the XO to give you're in command now. Right. And I'm going to man this gun.
But he takes down one of the planes.
Which actually never happened. He was never got a kill. That was something I also read. But
we're supposed to stand up and cheer when that happens.
Absolutely.
And it's like, well, I don't understand.
But here's
all horrible, right?
One of my... What I'd like to see, honestly, I think the Doolittle raids are actually... I did a little reading on it today. It's fascinating.
You're so much better at this than I am.
No, I just like history stuff.
You
That's do. Why I can absolutely just go on Wikipedia or, some World War II website with, oral
they
histories and stuff. And I could read up on these battles and these raids. And obviously, you can't even approach Pearl Harbor because it's such a huge event. But you can. This Doolittle raid is lesser known. And I'm like, that would be a great movie.
Right.
What a movie. Because... Right. A lot, 16 B-25 Mitchell, bombers took off from the Hornet and mm-hmm. flew over and bombed Japan, and the movie touched on this, but how it wasn't it didn't really change the course of the war. It just was a morale booster, and
it means I am American in Chinese.
Yes, learn this phrase.
Chikatatsu omisete kudasai.
The homing beacon doesn't work. But all that bullshit, I don't even know if that's true or not, but, all these other factors, you keep on having to, when you make a movie this long and this complex, I don't want to say that word, but this
convoluted,
full of bullshit.
Right.
You keep on having to up the stakes. We're at the end where they're bombing Tokyo. They have to take off early. I don't know if that's true. They have to bomb Tokyo. I don't know if they're shot at. They have to go to China. They can't find it. No homie beacon. They get attacked by Japanese. Some of that is true, that some people actually didn't survive. Like, yeah, they were attacked
like
by the...
Josh Hart. Oh.
Oh. Spoiler.
The Japanese lost the war. Raise my baby and bury me in your backyard. What?
Behind an obelisk. Underneath. Behind? You name don't bury people behind things.
Name your son after me.
Beneath is what I meant
to
say.
I mean my son.
I mean, who? Wait. Your name is Rafe?
And then all this happened. Do you mean the Doolittle Raid or do you mean Pearl Harbor?
I would love to see a movie about the Doolittle Raid. And yeah, that's like a fascinating...
What would they call it? Doolittle?
Do much. Nice. Do much. The Do Much Raid. Right? How about that?
Absolutely.
Anyway, I kind of got a little tangent there. Sorry
about it. It's a big piece of shit.
It is
still one of the 10 highest grossing movies of 2001, which...
I think it was number 6.
Astounds me.
Well, what else came out in 2001 that was a big blockbuster movie?
I don't know, but like, why does this...
If you know, email us.
It's one of these things, and we fell victim to it too, you know? It was like, you felt like you should go.
Right.
Because it was this big spectacle, it was the first movie of the summer, Michael Bay was coming off Armageddon, which was a huge fucking hit.
Right.
The trailer was good, Titanic and Saving Private Ryan together, oh, how could we miss it? But then as soon as the first weekend ends, and everyone's coming out of it saying, that was horrible, that was insulting to us all.
Right.
Why do people still go? And it's still not Michael Bay's worst movie. I can't find really one good thing to say about Pearl Harbor, right? It's still not Michael Bay's worst movie.
What is?
I mean, I think Transformers Revenge of the Fallen is significantly worse. I think, I don't know if the first Transformers is worse. It might be. Bad Boys 2 might be worse. It's hard to say, you know? I don't know if I can still stand by he gets worse with every movie.
Right.
Because I can definitely watch Bad Boys 2 again before I can watch Pearl Harbor again, I think.
Well, I think that...
Because I like when Will Smith says, oh, hell no.
I think to your point, though, you can easily say that he, at one point, he got worse with every movie. But yeah, how much worse can you get?
True.
Like, he's in the shit now. He's in this mud, this muck, kind of like our economy.
And more successful than ever.
And he's absolutely banging supermodels and making
Transformers
on
Revenge
top
of the Fallen
pile of money.
A huge movie. So nobody
cares. Even with
cares.
Racist car robots.
Right. He's incapable of doing a movie that isn't insulting to its audience and racist.
Yeah.
Even Bad Boys 2, featuring two African-American leads, is horribly racist.
The movie is this long, overarching thing. That's the best I can say about it. It's a thing. This long, overarching, I don't know, just this dross that just goes,
right,
and it does. It tries to do so much, and in doing so much, it does a disservice to so, like, you know, what actually happened and the people,
right,
that actually made sacrifices. And, like, you know, there were people that got in planes and shot down some Japanese fighter planes. And this, some of these things actually happened. And, like, wow, these are things we should hang our hat on. And this is,
right,
amazing. And these are patriots and heroes and wonderful people. And we are so focused on the Vaseline smeared on the lens and the nursing thing.
And by, I wanted to bring
so
that up.
Distracting.
Is that, my question was, and I don't know the answer to this. I think I looked online and couldn't find it. When I saw that, right after the attack, there's these shots inside the hospital, and there's Vaseline smeared all over the lens. There's no, I don't know what else to say.
It's exactly what it is.
Is it?
It looks like a broken camera. I mean.
Right. That was deliberate, you think?
Oh,
I had some question as to whether or not that was a ratings issue. But perhaps that was done after the fact to cover up some of the gore.
I cannot think that there's absolutely no.
Okay.
I think it's
okay.
Such a – because, again, you mentioned before that Michael Bay is all, like, you know, very contrived style.
Right. Yeah.
And this was just another one of style things. It's,
okay,
it's conveying the chaos,
right,
of the ward and all these people coming in and all this,
right,
like, I can't even focus on the thing. I can't even focus on Jennifer Garner's glasses and her bra.
She's terrible
she
in the movie.
She is horrible. And
terrible.
Is that where they met?
And she's
Affleck
not
and Jennifer
a,
Garner?
Perhaps.
And
then they
Violet.
Made Daredevil together. And
they made Violet together.
And she's not a bad actress, and I tend to like her, but man, she's bad in that movie. She's doing something from a 1960s beach party movie.
Yeah.
Like,
well, there's also Sarah Rue is doing the same, and
yeah,
James King is doing, they're all like doing New York accents, and
right,
there's like a brassy girl, I don't know, there's another blonde who is not a,
they're all
as
like the
famous
second lead in a Doris Day movie. It's,
yeah,
like, oh, let that fella take you out to dinner.
Sure wish I had a friend. You know, I can't even...
But Kate Beckinsale is in the lead, and I'm fascinated by that because guess what? as bad as those other actresses are, any one of them would have been more interesting, I think. Maybe not James King, but like Jennifer Garner or Sarah Rue would have been better in the lead because Kate Beckinsale is just a vacant black hole.
But Kate Beckinsale has this, and I know you disagree. Kate Beckinsale is very, very pretty. And I don't mean to say she's sexy or gorgeous because I don't actually get a lot of sex from her, mm-hmm. but she is pretty.
I get a lot of sex from her. She gives me tons of sex.
She is very pretty to look at. She's easy on the eyes. She has features that are like statuesque almost.
And that we know is in the eye of the beer holder because I don't find her that pretty.
I mean, I'm just saying conventionally. Yeah, I actually do find her pretty, but I think conventionally you would not find a person say, she is ugly. You know, she's...
Did American soldiers in World War II... dye their tips blonde?
I think blonde highlights were... Okay. That was a new thing.
Okay.
It was part of the GI Bill. I don't know. Was that
the way to...
They all got caps, too.
Is that how they distinguish?
Da Vinci veneers.
Is that how they distinguish between... Like, someone said, Affleck and Josh Hartnett look too similar. Make one of them kind of blonde.
They're also, like, years apart in age, aren't they? Are they close in age? I gotta think Josh Hartnett's, like...
Affleck's, like, 10 years older. But I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know. I mean, I guess there is a little that played, like he was always the older brother kind of figure to Danny.
Right.
To Josh Hartnett.
Danny.
I don't know. I watched this movie. I almost fell asleep during it. I kept myself awake.
Thank you.
And then it was like, the Pearl Harbor, the raid happens. And it's like, and by the way, too, this is going to sound so dumb, but there's a lot of damage done. Obviously the Arizona was sunk. I think the Oklahoma was sunk. A lot of other ships were damaged. The way that scene is shot, like every torpedo hits, every bomb hits.
Right.
It looks like they take out like 50 battleships.
Right, because it's all about just spectacle. And while Michael Bay is, I guess a guy to turn to if you want scope, Pearl mm-hmm. Harbor certainly has scope, the shots of the planes and all that. I mean, there are some shots from above of like missiles hitting the deck and it's like, oh, that is... But, I was also excited by the shot of the fucking ships in the trailer for Troy, I was like, whoa, look at all those ships. We can do that now.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it a good movie, just because you have scope doesn't mean that your movie works.
Because you have this, plug-in in your Photoshop that's scope, exactly. Filter, scope. Oh, you've added 20 more bombs and 80 more zeros. I also read that he painted the Japanese zeros green. To distinguish them from the American planes or vice versa, and that wasn't the paint scheme. Like, he's just taking all these artistic liberties, which I know happens all the time in movies, but it's like...
But then don't do historical epics.
Or not even... You could do a historical movie. You could do a war movie, but don't do a war movie about Pearl Harbor, because, mm-hmm. I agree with Patrick. Well, I not agree with Patrick, but I'm...
Why don't you
similar
agree
to Patrick in that my family also is not a war or a military family. My father was not in the military. I think... My mother's father was kind of similar to yours, and I think they're
the greatest generation.
However, that was everyone of that age group went to World War II.
Right.
But it hasn't been this thing. But I am interested in war, and I know that some people out there, for Pearl Harbor, it's still there's an older generation that still don't like the Japanese. I know that sounds horribly insensitive and racist, but that's the reality of these people that fought the Japanese, that they still live with this in the 2000s, that there's this, and you give Michael Bay the money, the paycheck, the camera to go make this movie about Pearl Harbor, and it's just incredibly he doesn't even try to. I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure maybe he would argue that I had the ships were lined up exactly how they were lined up based on aerial photos that we researched. That's where the ships were lined up, and they were like that. And this is where it's like. But everything else, all the fiction, all the narrative that you inject in there is completely disingenuous and insulting.
Well, he's also the guy that admits on the commentary track for Armageddon that rover that they land on the asteroid, mm-hmm. has machine guns on it. And you wonder, well, why does it have machine guns? And he admits on the commentary track it was the toy company had requested that because toys with guns sell better. So that's where Michael Bay
is coming from,
integrity-wise.
And
then you add that sensibility to fucking Pearl Harbor.
Right.
I don't know.
That's where you get the blonde tips, I think, because that doll sells better than a doll without blonde tips.
Right.
But I want to keep on going, nitpicking things, but it's just. I read up on this also that, a lot of people that were actually there had seen it, and the consensus, and this also is true of the reviews, the critics out there. It was panned. It was not well received.
Right.
It was people didn't like it. Regular people and critics didn't like it. I think Ebert gave it 1.5 stars. And
Ebert had the best line about Pearl Harbor ever, and it was that he described it as a movie about a Japanese sneak attack on an American love triangle, which is just the best line about Pearl Harbor.
There was another line in his review that said something like, you'll leave the movie quoting it, but that doesn't mean, something that effect, like you're not going to, because it's so good or so well written. It just, but yeah, so everyone, even people that experienced it all said it was like, it was garbage and horrible. And I mean, how do you live with yourself? That sounds too dramatic, but like, how do you, she had to know going into this, like, this is my product. This is the final version of this. Here it is, America. That he had to know that, like, a private in the army back in 1941 or a sailor or a midshipman in 1941 is going to watch it at their ripe old age of, 80-something and think this is, like, sensationalistic, almost, criminal, I think, just because it's ramping up this American war. I mean, obviously
there was maybe, but I also think Michael Bay is such a cynical son of a bitch that like he has no problem pandering to the lowest common denominator, and usually he's right. Look at the success of the Transformers movie.
Well, look at the success of Pearl Harbor.
Right. And by giving them just these obvious sound bites and giant sweeps. And
everything's a fucking soundbite, by the way.
And then if you just like suck America's dick enough, he thinks people are going to come out of it saying like, I was moved, because every line is designed to move you.
Yeah.
Like about bravery and heroism and sacrifice. Every line is something to that effect. The fucking shot where like FDR stands up.
Oh yeah.
In slow
motion.
Don't
tell me it's impossible.
Are you kidding me? You're just inventing shit.
Right. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. And all this. Yeah.
Why not just have FDR get into a plane and shoot down the Japanese himself?
But that crop duster from the first scene. That's what you should get in.
Why not? I mean, you're going this far. Right. Take it all the way. Just turn it into fucking fantasy.
Yeah, because honestly, it might as well just be. Right. And this is what I like. Let's go, if I may. I know we're at our hour. Actually, we're over an hour.
Yeah.
Inglourious Basterds, people had problems with because it kind of sensationalized certain aspects, and it kind of was this fantasy.
Right.
But if you're gonna do a historical movie and you want to go this, like, why not go all out? Kill Hitler. Have this make up a complete fictional squadron of people and, maybe based on some real things, but it's also more so based on like 70s and 60s movie culture than, more than.
And it's also about something. It's about our relationship to war movies and about our relationship to movie violence versus real violence. And it's about these ideas. Pearl Harbor isn't about any of that except. No. Bullshit Americana or what?
Pearl Harbor is like a greeting card, a three and a half hour greeting card. Just like heroism and bravery.
Right. Congratulations, and just, like, you're America.
Right. It's like you deserve a blowjob, America.
Exactly.
Because look at what you did. Look at what we did. Right. We, not us, like, or not right, them, but right. We. Look at us. We're so great. I was born here in the 70s. How great am I? Because people I don't know did this.
We rarely talk about movies this bad on If This Movie, but you've been pretty
thanks,
to,
Luis.
Showgirls, and now this.
Oh, Showgirls is better
I feel
than
comfortable
this.
Saying, Showgirls is better than this. I feel very comfortable saying, go fuck yourself, Michael Bay.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll stop talking about Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, there's so much, and again, there's so much you can just like point out all these little inaccuracies and bullshit and crap, but it's like, what's the point? The whole thing is a piece of shit, don't go see it,
right.
Don't give it any more money. I was actually almost thinking about buying this, and I'm glad I didn't, because he doesn't need my like extra $20 for whatever DVD Blu-ray I would buy.
Spend it on a different war movie. What war movie would you spend that on?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, I already own all the good ones.
Thin Red Line?
No. I have a problem with that movie too, but I know people. Oh,
certainly
shit.
You have to respect it more than this.
Oh, absolutely,
okay.
I do. But
that's all I'm getting.
I absolutely respect Thin Red Line, but I think I'm not a huge fan of it.
Yeah.
I think it's more about scenery. That's a whole totally
it's more about how flowers look.
Absolutely. But people love that movie.
I need to see
people
it again.
Think that movie is the shit. And
I
they,
need to reassess.
They watch that movie and say Saving Private Ryan's bullshit. And you can make
right.
arguments, but they don't think Saving Private Ryan's bullshit for the same reasons you think Saving Private Ryan's bullshit.
Right.
They're like, well, because it's not Thin Red Line.
Right.
No, actually, two of the best war stuff I've seen, if you're into war movies and war fiction, or not fiction, but war narrative, is a miniseries, and Band of Brothers is excellent, and Generation Kill, about the Iraq War.
Yeah.
Those are some of the best stuff I've seen about war. It says stuff, it's shot well, it's beautiful, it's moving, it's violent, it's gripping, it's, exciting, it's sad, all those things, And
so it's like Pearl Harbor.
I wasn't a huge fan of the Pacific, but
What's the war movie that John Dahl did a couple years ago? What was the war movie that John Dahl did a couple years ago? It played for like 2 weeks. Maybe Benjamin Bratt is in it. I'm pretty sure you own it. The
Great Escape?
There, no, no. The Great Raid. Raid.
The Great Raid.
The Great Raid.
Oh, yeah, I've read that book and I watched that movie.
How is it?
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it does some things.
How does it compare to Miracle at St. Anna?
I have not seen Miracle at St. Anna. Is that either. Spike Lee's movie? Yeah, I have not seen that.
That's his World War II movie.
But The Great Raid is, it definitely, you know, it's about the Bataan Death March and the Pacific World War II and all that stuff in the Philippine Islands. And it's kind of depressing and a little little dark, but it's got some good parts. It goes by pretty fast, and it's a pretty, you know, got some exciting parts at the end.
So. While it doesn't deal with Pearl Harbor specifically, a double feature of Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima would be much better than Pearl Harbor because it does sort of cover both sides
right.
in a much more respectful, realistic way.
Yeah. Respectful. So, I think that is the key word.
Yeah.
It's respectful to both sides. I think it really tries to go above and beyond almost like to a fault to be like respectful of these people and stuff, specifically in Letters Iwo Jima.
Yeah. So see those. Anyway, fthismovie.blogspot.com. fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Patrick. I love talking about movies with you.
Pretty soon we're going to do the Harry Potter cast.
And pretty. And Harry Potter!
Thanks, everyone. Thank you, everybody. Until next time, let's go awake a sleeping giant.